prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3- Network. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here in Herb Talk. Frank, you ready over there? Yeah, Frank's ready. I'm ready. We're going to be having a great show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part, the Health Bank link. So we're going to be talking about that and some other things. And then we do have our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, and I'm seeking the Lord's face. And I'm mining the time, because it grows short. I don't know about you, I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Prayer has power. Prayer is a defensive measure. So we need to be seeking the Lord's face on this and helping us out, because we're in a situation, I don't know if you, did you see Frank recently that plead from Australia for help from, America and other nations like England to help in their time of need? They've been so oppressed. They need, I think that what they were asking for was a global demonstration day. Poor Estrada. We got to help. We got to have supernatural help for them and for ourselves. So be mine in the time. So today's devotional here puts us in Proverbs. And at Proverbs 19, it says, "He that has pity upon the poor leadeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will be pay him again." So when we have, you know, empathy for others, and we help them out, God takes care of us also. And also Proverbs 14 says, "He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy on the poor." Yeah, and don't forget, the place of obedience is a place of provision. God provides for his people who are obedient, so we have to be that. So we gotta draw near to the Lord, and we have to have the mindset of Christ, because he is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, just a couple things today in the quacker. Here it is. School shuts down after staff members suffer COVID-19 booster adverse reactions. This is in Michigan. Saginaw Township Community Schools shut down after several staff members suffered adverse effects after they got their booster shots of COVID. Couldn't go to school to teach. The school posted on Facebook page, quote, "A large number of our staff had negative reactions to the COVID booster shot given at the clinic over the weekend, resulting in absences today." That was Monday. They said, "As you may be aware, there is already a substitute teacher staff shortage throughout the state of Michigan, therefore complicating the availability to cover those absences." So Saginaw Township District Representative did explain that the closure was not due to COVID illnesses, but rather to the side effects of the COVID booster vaccines. The school did not want to say which vaccine was administered. They didn't elaborate on the side effects or how many teachers were affected. Moving on, last but not least, in the quack report, microplastics, they say, alter the shape of human lung cells, according to scientists. They say microplastics are pretty much everywhere, according to their study. These are minuscule pieces of plastic that can alter lung cells. The study did get conducted by research from Florida State University and did get published in the Journal of Chemical Research and Toxicology. According to the research, microplastics refer to plastic debris that is less than 5 millimeters, or about the size of a sesame seed. They say primary microplastics are made for commercial use, like microbeads for cosmetics, lotions, and toothpaste, or microfillers in textiles and netting. The secondary microplastics are particles that are broken down from larger plastic products like containers, water bottles, and usually through environmental means like erosion. So these secondary microplastics don't decompose completely. Now, according to their study, these microplastics have turned up in Antarctic sea ice and snowfall in Antarctic and in human stool samples collected across the globe. The scientist of the study looked at the kind of damage these microplastics do to the human lungs. According to the study, microplastics cause changes to the shape of the lung cell and a slowdown in their metabolizing ability. Even after exposure to these microplastics, it hampered their filtration and growth ability. Not good for kids, I would think, right? Babies in the womb. Something to think about. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. You know, Frank, somebody asked me the other day, that sound bike you play for the quacker, where did I get that? Where did I get that? Actually, the quack is my daughter. When she was in high school, one of her classmates have the uncanny ability to cluck like a chicken or duck or whatever you want to call it. And so she would often do that in a classroom and drive her teachers crazy. So I asked her one day if she wouldn't mind coming down to the studio and clucking for us. And she did. So that's who's clucking for us there on the quacker. All right. We're going to talk about our health bank link. Always good stuff. When we're going to cover and let you know what's coming, I give you a heads up. So now, in 2008, we're going to go back there, the American Health Information Management Association did post an article by Chris Dominick on linking all medical records to one interface. And this is really not a medical savings account, which, you know, is offered by employers. It's not that. The idea is to bank all the health data in one place, and it is marketed as a solution to help resolve the challenges the healthcare system has had with their data. So what would be the scope of this health bank platform? Well, that's a good question. There are plans to expand it, so we're going to take a few minutes to check this out. Let me read you a quote from that American Health Information Management Association back in 2008, their report. They said, the plan is to combine regional, nationwide, and international exchange as the core of the plan. A simple search on the system will deliver a patient's record in its entirety. Privacy and security will be needed, but that burden rests with the health information exchange, end of quote. Interesting. Well, this is going to freak you out, I think, Frank, that what the base model of this thing is, the model for this platform was based on the financial banking system because it was supposedly easy to it was seen as easy to an easy solution to which the exchange data would flow. Uh-huh. I think it was chosen in order to link health records with financial banks. But this health record bank link is an electronic repository to collect and store data regarding health records, similar to a bank checking account where you would, you know, list the payments you made to which vendors, and then the system would list, for example, a doctor's visit, a drugstore purchase, and so forth. So it's a roadmap to the activities of a patient. And similar to online banking, the patients can access their account and submit additional data. Now, it's interesting that the interface would be designed by the financial bank, probably to make the linking easier. So healthcare providers would have access to this platform to retrieve health data on patients. So how do you suppose they're going to make this attractive so people would, like, you know, I think most people are going to go for it. You know, they've gone for all kinds of things with regard to their records lately, and people just don't bat an eye at much anymore. But how do you suppose they're going to make this attractive? Well, to lure people to engage in this, the health bank would be free to patients, but the platform most likely would be supported by advertisers and other sources. So the list of the other sources weren't provided. So people would be under the impression that they are in control of the bank and who would have access to their accounts, similar to Facebook and other online platforms. So HIPAA, remember HIPAA laws? They were also mentioned in the report as a comparison that under those rules, patients don't have control who access the data. So they're looking at a solution for that, and they would kind of throw that little breadcrumb out. All right, so let's look at you know what comes to mind when I'm reading this stuff, Frank, is LifeLock. How many people just jumped on that bandwagon, right? So there you go. Well, let's look at – it's kind of a complex thing. But they're working out the complexities. The problem this platform has had is getting approval from individual states regarding their laws on such data harvesting and storage. So creating one set of policies for all 50 states as well as other countries is the big challenge. Now, due to prior security breaches within the banking and healthcare industries, proving that no data is 100% secure, some of these authorities are taking a wait-and-see approach. Now, Americans already have a federalized data platform and that model, and also a centralized model. And the challenge would be to link these platforms, keeping the illusion that privacy is intact for the individual. So the goal is to take records that have been housed in different facilities and put them under one technology roof or centralized location. So easy access and exchanges are built into this platform. An example would be if a physician in one specialty needed to see the patient records from another specialty, they could access them in real time. And many health organizations have adopted such a model as this. Let me read you a quote from the National Health Information Infrastructure. This is Dr. William Yasnov. He says, "One set of policies will never cover everyone because people have different privacy needs." He goes on to say, a nationwide health bank will never succeed unless the individual is in control over how their information is exchanged. Many people go to great lengths to hide information from certain providers in order to maintain control. Surveys show people exercise information hiding behaviors because they don't want their doctors to know all their medical details. And these are people who will fight politically controlled national networks. The other problem is that these platforms are ridiculously expensive and cannot be free. End of quote. So just remember that. It ain't never going to be free. So where is the money coming to make something like that? I'm sure, Frank, you have an idea how expensive a platform like that would be. It'd be massive. Oh, well, where is this going is a good question. Well, if the package is presented in such a way to make patients believe that they are the gatekeepers of their information, then a majority of people may agree to use it. So people have short memories, and most are really not going to associate voting machine breaches with their personal health care bank. And some states balk at the notion that physicians may not have access to all the data on an individual. And guess what? Washington State is one of them. They argue that patients having the ability to hide, alter, or delete medical information should not be permitted. Therefore, they insist on restrictions be in place to prevent record modification. Here is what James Herford, chair of the Health Information Infrastructure Advisory Board, which was created by Washington state legislators, here's what he said. "The idea to give records control to the patient over my colleagues is a reality hard to wrap heads around." End of quote. Yeah. Well, this platform is structured to mesh well with the banking system platform, okay, because it was based on a banking system platform. So the control it affords governments and those who run them over the global population would be enormous. So in theory, this platform states it will allow patients to receive care anywhere in the world. And that means health banks will need to operate on a real-time query interoperability system, which is complex and expensive. And not too long ago, though, that concept would have been difficult, if not ridiculously impossible. But big data platforms have evolved, and the emergence of quantum computers has made it possible. So these systems will start as a national system and will later be adapted to exchange data globally. So therefore, patient records at the following providers will be in one place. It would be your clinic, doctor office, your hospital records, your pharmacy records, your chiropractor, your dentist, your psychiatrist, and any other entity associated with care will be all centralized in this one data. William Hasnoff weighs in again. He says, "The Western culture isn't very prone to, hey, let's put all our data in one repository. That approach doesn't really fly." End of quote. I believe he's right. What do you think, Frank? For the most of us, I think right now, nah. Well, I mean, they got to make it painful if you reject it. You know, they got to make you, you know, change your mind. You know what I mean? Sort of like, you know, you don't want to get the shot. Well, you can't work then if you don't have it. Change your mind. You know what I mean? A little bit of a, you know, coaxing, if you will. So who is going to really be in control? Well, all the talk to make the patient have control over their healthcare bank account is really just window dressing. The cost of setting up this network will need to be government funded. Even if the platform started out as patient controlled, the HR 2000 and was it 2009? I think it was 2009 congressional bill called the Independent Health Record Trust Act. That was 2007. Sorry. So it was Health Bill 2991. That bill regulates all framework regarding health records. Yeah. So they're the ones – they're going to be the big cheeses. They're going to be saying – you know, they're the ones calling the game plan. And I got to bring back and remind you guys of the trust score also. We've discussed this before. Bill Gates has this software known as Trust Score to replace credit score and link your medical record to your banking records. It's slightly different version than China's version of Social Score. So it's an interesting label that Gates did select for his medical tyranny software, Trust Score. So the global elite want one world global systems to operate as one. And it could be possible that Gates' software may be the ideal program to connect the health bank to the financial banks, you know, some sort of smooth transition there. So the technology is moving pretty much at a record pace, and as it will soon be, you know, blending a lot of these record banks to usher in more control. So the technology is offering that ability for more control. So the point is, you know, it's a train that has no brakes right now. And it's a coming. So, you know, be prepared for just about anything. That's what I'm saying. Be prepared for anything. No one knows, you know, exactly when all this control is going to hit us. But we best be ready for just about anything at any time. So, you know, stock what you will, what you need now before, you know, regulating restrictions cut off that opportunity to get your supplies, you know. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have their long life shelf herbal formulas, medicinal formulas with a long shelf life. You want to check out their things like pandemic kit, heart attack pack, immune support formulas. You can call them and get their free catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., it's 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. The website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And right now, take advantage of their November sale, and you'll save 25% on your order of $50 or more. You want to use the coupon THANKS21, so for Thanksgiving, THANKS21. But the sale ends on the 19th, and restrictions do apply. And I did see on the website some things are sold out, so you want to definitely take advantage of that while they have stock. Also, if you've already called in and to request the catalog, and you left your request on their catalog hotline, and you haven't gotten your catalog yet, be aware they are moving through the request catalog list as fast as they can. Right now, they've been inundated, so right now they're working on the requests from August. That's, you know, first come, first serve, but that's just how many people have requested a catalog, and they're working through them quickly. So if you haven't gotten yours, just don't think you've been ignored. It's just, it was been an overwhelming response to people looking for alternatives and empowerment. So, and I can understand that. So, I mean, feel free if you want to call them and talk to someone live to request a catalog, and that may move you up the list chain a little faster. But the list, the catalog hotline list, they have been working on, and they've gotten all the way up to August. So, I mean, because this started, you know, last year, so they've been you know, hitting the ground running, you know, for over a year. Bless their hearts, and you know, it's a good problem to have, but you know. they're working as fast as they can. If you're on their website, I do encourage you to sign up for their free online newsletters, which go out each week, and we'll provide you with information that you'll need. The American Survival newsletter will go out Tuesday, and the Health Quest towards the end of the week. And these both will have information you'll definitely want to have and share with family and friends. So they're absolutely free, so go up on the website, but you have to have email to receive these newsletters. They're not snail mailed to you. Sorry about that, but you have to have an email account. So go to the Power Herbs and click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up for free there. And I want to thank all of you out there for the lovely emails and calls of support and prayer. Amazing. You guys are just amazing out there. So we appreciate that so much. We look forward to hearing from you on that. Also, for those of you that have shared your success stories using the products from Apothecary Herbs so that it encourages others and given us permission to post that information, you'll find that up on the website and also peppered through the product catalog. So you'll see people's reactions, reviews, and so forth on the product. So thank you for that. That's important to encourage one another. Empowerment. Pass it on. Pass it on. All right. Yep, I know. The weekend's almost here. And we are going to be talking about some antibiotics here that most people rely on often. And some of them can be a problem. We're moving into that, you know, winter area where people will be taking antibiotics for, you know, sinus infections and bronchitis and things like that. And that's been hitting people hard in the Northeast, the bronchitis and sinus infections. We've been getting some calls on that. So when you go get your antibiotics, and I know a lot of people use them because they think it'll give them a quick fix and they'll get back to work and school quickly, but you're really robbing your immune system of the opportunity to make an antibody for that infection. So you'll continue to be vulnerable to that infectious strain because your body can't make an antibody and adapt one for the next one. So a lot of reports on antibiotic use. The BBC did report that the overuse of antibiotics over the last decades, several generations, is considered, quote, the greatest health threat to modern health. So not only are the antibiotics losing their effectiveness, but there are also no new ones waiting to replace the ones that, you know, now there are drug resistance. So instead, pharmaceutical companies have been kind of embarking on more antiviral drugs and vaccines rather than the new antibiotics. So, and it's kind of frustrating for some of your doctors out there that are so used to whipping out their little prescription pad. They are seeing more resistance, and the patients aren't going to get over what they have, and then they're complaining. So we're going to talk about this and some solutions that you may want to know. When we come back from our first break, we'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$20
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Frank, awesome. All right, well, you know, hey, a little levity, but you know, it's funny and it's not, for sure. Well, we're going to be talking about our antibiotic issues, and there was this epidemic of obesity that was it wound up in the Saturday Evening Post, and they had a link through medical research that antibiotics can cause obesity. According to Sharon Begley, the medical contributor, they said More people become immune to antibiotics, and antibiotic use has created a microbiotic genome. And what these genomes do is they think they determine who is more prone to the disease and who isn't. And it's an antibiotic use has led to an obesity epidemic because it's changing gut floras. So certain gut floras make us feel full, prevents us from overeating. Apparently, research is pointing to your antibiotics stripping away these friendly floras and therefore keeping us to eat more. Now, the report also links antibiotics to making changes to our system overall more, and making us more vulnerable to things like asthma, chronic sinusitis, autoimmune diseases, and rheumatoid arthritis, as well as Crohn's disease. So keep that in mind. And you've heard the term polypharmacy. It really comes down to a matter of people trusting their doctors to be put on numerous drug therapies at one time, and that's called polypharmacy. And it creates a myriad of side effects. And the word polypharmacy means many drugs. And by the time you're 65, you're most likely going to be on 6 prescriptions if you let doctors do that. So the medical expenditure panel actually did a survey in 2009 and also in 2012, and the FDA and Kaiser Health Foundation also did their own analysis on how many drugs retired folks are really taking. The stats were kind of astonishing, and Dr. Mercola is saying the average 65-year-old is filling as many as 31 prescriptions per year. So if your age let's see, if you're age 65 to 74, 3.6 prescriptions. If you're over 75, 6.7 prescriptions. So the medical solution to all these prescriptions is, well, let's make the drugs over-the-counter then, medications. You don't have to have a prescription. They're more accessible. They're less expensive. So the over-the-counter sales are $17 billion a year. And the drugs that they want to have over the counter would be access to blood pressure meds, cholesterol meds, migraine headache medicines, asthma drugs, all over the counter, and help, you know, with the healthcare costs. They think it would be less expensive, but the mortality rate is going to go up. Doctors and pharmacists know that when you interchange drug therapies with over-the-counter stuff, you can run into trouble. So according to the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, 92% of Americans think over-the-counter medicine is safe and effective. And Dr. Mercola says overdoses have gone way up fivefold. And so the average American is taking prescription drugs that are really an array of over-the-counter meds. So you know, basically 100,000 over-the-counter medications have been provided each year in the United States to folks. Really, these were all prescription drugs at one point. Now, here's a quote from Dr. Mercola. Acetaminophen, known as your Tylenol-type products, are the leading cause of liver failure in the United States, right? So you want to be aware that you're, if you're mixing prescription and over-the-counter medications, you're going to have issues. And you also want to have to be aware your herbal supplements can interact badly with a lot of prescription and over-the-counter stuff. So you have to understand that herbs can interfere with the absorption uptake of meds. So be aware of that. So what you can do is just, you know, try to educate yourself, and maybe look at some alternative type of products that may give you similar benefits of getting over infections that an antibiotic would. I like to use some broad spectrum herbs like garlic, and then I like to use herbs for immune support like echinacea. And you can use those safely together to shorten duration of illness and help your immune system make an antibody. And you can get over flu bugs in a couple of days as well if you just work with your immune system, not against it. Taking Tylenol shuts off the antibodies, shuts off the fever and the antibodies, which work together. Fever and antibodies work together. Antibodies are temperature specific, so shut down the fever, shut down the antibodies. You'll be sicker longer. Just remember that. So it really is ridiculous when a doctor tells you, you know, turn the fever off. Take a Tylenol or an aspirin, you just shut off your immune system. That's what they scare you that you're going to have a febrile seizure, but they're rare. And if you keep the fever wet, hydrate and drink fluids, you know, this is God's design. Okay. All right. God decided how your immune system works, not scientific medicine. Okay. Let's look at some information here when we're going to move along. We're going to talk about your health and dominance for dollars over your health. There's some interesting conversations that I've been reading about scientists that are disagreeing with claims that herbal medicine would be effective based solely on thousands of years of use, empirical history. So interesting that, you know, these scientists aggressively battle antiquity, stating any claim of benefit from a natural medicine is based, they say, on anecdotal information, and it's, you know, cut off from reality is their term. So they're thinking, you know, if you're talking about, you know, using herbs for wellness, they think you're a nutcase. Yeah. So we are aware that science prides itself on reasonable conclusions based on observable facts or physical and measurable evidence. That's what they say they're all about. And I began to wonder if the science was admitting that the ancients who observed such things as animals to avoid poisonous plants was in reality a reasonable conclusion based on evidence, or was it out of reality? So what about the pharmaceutical industry concluding that there was reason to believe, based on anecdotal information, that herbs contain substances for health and proceeded to make drugs from them? That's right. So if herbs were so impotent, ineffective, non-beneficial, why did drug companies use them to make medicine from? So the scientists have mentioned that during the pre-scientific age of medicine, when natural therapies and herbs were considered medicine, that pus and wounds also was considered a sign of healing. That's what medicine thought. Pus is a good thing. Scientific medicine said that. So they argued that health required a sophisticated method rather than just observing nature. It requires science. And these are the guys, the scientific physicians, that say, you know, the mucus in your sinus cavity isn't the problem for chronic sinusitis. And so if they did a sinus scraping, neurologists would do that. They leave the mucus there. They thought it was inflamed tissue that was the problem. Okay, first of all, your immune system will produce mucus in the nasal cavity for two reasons: to keep the nasal cavity moist and not dried out, and also to encapsulate invading pathogens so they don't spread. It's our duty to get the mucus out and then remove the infection. So it's insane that they would leave the mucus in there during a sinus surgery. I mean, I worked for these guys. The people never got better. I mean, their sinus condition never got better after a sinus scraping. Seriously. So I personally think that there is good and bad areas in the historical development of medicine. Now, science was paramount in helping to discover the mechanics and chemistry of the human body, physiology, biology. And I still don't know, you know, and nobody really knows everything in that regard, you know. And I can remember my grandfather telling me while he was, you know, repairing a car, that sometimes you need a delicate instrument to do instead of a sledgehammer, to do a repair. And I often think health falls along those lines, where the body needs a gentle power of a whole food nutrition that you could get in foods and herbs and spices, rather than the toxic pharmaceutical chemical, which would be equal to your sledgehammer. So where herbs leave off at the practical limits, medical science wants to step in for the trauma-based care. And that's okay. I call this the golden bridge, right? I think healthcare has its place in trauma care. Definitely. So why scientific medicine refuses to acknowledge the benefits of nutrition and herbs that have influenced medicine for thousands of years is beyond me, for sure. So the scientists are quick to point out all the superstition that's associated with your early sources of medicinal medicine. And I'm more inclined to point out that the historical evolution of scientific medicine exhibits underlying hallmarks of superstition, sorcery, and alchemy. You can reference Dr. Truott, PhD in mineral science. He took the time to research the early resources of scientific medicine, and he detailed the historical path of medicine, which involved ancient Babylon. And it was his report, History of Medicine. MotherEarthMinerals.com is his website. He's out in the Midwest if you want to ask about it. So Dr. Ott's research revealed that the medicinal caduceus symbol, that's your medical symbol, stems from witchcraft and sorcery in Babylon. So ancient spells and crystals and metals and snakes and these were all the bedrock of supposedly the scientific medicine of the ancient world. But those things are still used today in scientific medicine, which people find mind-blowing. That's right. So, for example, powdered rock fillers and drugs, okay, metal mercury preservatives and vaccines and snake venom are still in use. And it seems that modern sophisticated science is in reality not what it appears to be. Okay, so the Cretaceous symbol of the staff and the snake and all that, that was a witch doctor symbol. They would line patients up on the floor in rows. The witch doctor would run up and down the rows with the poisonous snake on his staff. If the snake bit you, and you didn't die, you were healed. So think about this for a minute. The snake bites you, venom goes in, the immune system activates, and it's trying to overcome the toxins of the venom, and it also clears you of whatever was ailing you to begin with. Okay? So we have to keep in mind that our westernized medicine at the turn of the century was also promoted as a medicine based on human biology and supposedly superior to any form of medicine. So a standardized medicine across arose, and it blocked access to a lot of natural medicines at that time, and it blocked access to the opportunity to prove that a lot of natural healing worked, but they were promoting the toxic treatments, which included things like bloodletting. That's how they killed General Washington. President Washington, they drained his blood to lower his blood pressure. So they just got better at bloodletting, Frank. They give you diuretics to send the blood. It's not as messy, but that's what it is. So poor President George Washington, he got that winter cold, and his scientific physicians performed bloodletting. The president was drained of too much of his blood, and he died. Problem. No blood, you die. So had he been left alone, he most likely would have recovered after several weeks of convalescence, staying near a warm fire, you know, drinking some herbal teas. So the method of bloodletting is still carried out today, as I mentioned, just in a pill form and a blood thinner, diuretics. Yeah. So the popular blood thinner, basically, recommended by scientific medicine is your Coumadin Werfen. The American Pharmacist Association, on average, 34,000 Americans die each year while they take their blood thinners. Can you imagine if a person taking an herbal supplement, if 34,000 died taking an herbal supplement? Do you know what would happen to that herbal supplement? Yeah, it'd be off the market so fast. And the whole thing would be criminalized. All right. So a new genera of blood thinners, though, is even more deadlier that medicine came out with, Eliquis. No antidote if you're in a trauma accident and you're bleeding. No antidote to stop the bleeding, the hemorrhaging. You will bleed out. So that's the problem. So Pradaxa, Xarelto, Eliquis, Savesa, they're unable to stop the anti-clotting feature of that drug if you're injured. People aren't told that when they're put on that, Frank. Did you know that? So, you know, I mean, think of yourself in modern life. I mean, you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and a riot breaks out and somebody hits you over the head with a Coke bottle or something and now you're bleeding. Yeah. Now, the scientific world of medicine likes to stake its reputation on measurable evidence. It's proving their scientific theories, and it makes science transparent and universal, which means anyone from any country or culture could be able to duplicate the research and get the same results. That's in theory. Now, lately we found that this is not always the case, and 50% of your drug experiments are fraudulent, can't be duplicated. So treating disease with these type of drugs that can't be duplicated in research is equivalent to what science calls quackery. Isn't it, Frank? Wouldn't you agree? Right? Well, if you're taking a scientifically approved blood thinner, you have more than a 50% chance of premature death. That's evidence-based, by the way. And it makes you wonder why science is trying to be sophisticated about life and death matters. Well, got to keep an open mind. There was once a medical doctor, a dentist, who developed a neurological disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. And since he was a scientific doctor, he knew there was no cure, and he was going to die of the disease. That's what his doctors told him. So after 3 years, his family pushed him to try some alternative treatments, and he went to see this herbalist. It wasn't me. He didn't come to see me. But he reluctantly did the therapies because his family, you know, he was on his case about it. And he knew he wasn't going to get better, but he did the therapies anyway, and his condition improved. And he convinced himself the improvement was temporary. A remission of his symptoms based on his medical training convinced him there wasn't any real cure. So he struggled to accept that. And he was using these natural therapies, which enabled him to walk better, talk better, improved his strength. He was able to ambulate without assistance. He actually could drive his car again, no difficulty at all. And he was able to even go back to work. A dentist. Now, finally, he agreed that for all this this particular disease that he had, it was hard for him to agree that medicine got it wrong, and he was actually reversing his illness with natural therapies. He finally did come to that conclusion. Sometimes it's hard for people who invest years of training, tuition, dollars, medical school training, to come as a part of them. It's hard for them to see the flaws in it. Prominent professionals in the medical area, they have reputations, you know, to protect, and for them to admit herbs and spices and foods, any kind of natural therapies are superior is just out of the question. Now, people have been through a series of health events, and they were able to restore themselves with nutrition, natural therapies, herbs, and those folks became believers. Now, the dentist became a reluctant believer. And I know about this dentist because of my master herbalist training when I was in school. One of my teachers actually was the herbalist that helped this guy. And people, when they become believers, they realize there's more powerful opportunities out there that they didn't even know about. Things that empowered them, made them more self-sufficient, less reliant on drug chemicals and the side effects thereof, and they're just blown. Their minds are blown by it. So they realize not everything that they've been told by modern medicine is accurate. Benjamin Franklin once quoted as saying, "Half the truth is still a whole lie." And that's so true in a lot of cases. So now President Reagan was quoted as, "Trust but verify." Remember that? So when you research your treatments that have been recommended to you, sometimes you can see the devil in the details, so you have to be open-minded. Ask questions. And if your doctor is offended that you're asking questions like you're trying to double-guess him, well, he shouldn't be offended for one thing. If he's arrogant about it, that's his own ego. And the focus isn't your wellness then. If he really felt the treatment helped you, he would take the time to calmly and compassionately express his position on it and be okay if you weren't accepting of it, because that's your choice. But they shouldn't really get offended, but a lot of them do. Now, drug questions. Let's say you go to your doctor and they're recommending a drug or this medication, and you want to ask them questions, get into a conversation about it. So getting information on drugs from your doctor can be a little dicey at times, depending on your doctor's personality. Sometimes you got to pull the information out of them. So some of the questions I would typically ask would be, do you have a list of the major and minor drug side effects on this drug? Will the drug produce any permanent side effects I should know about? Will the drug produce a rebound effect or make my condition worse? Will the drug produce dependency and withdrawal effects? Will the drug hurt any organs, encourage organ atrophy, or produce organ failure? Will the drug produce accumulative toxicity and hurt my liver? Will the drug increase my risk of secondary diseases, also known as side effects? And will the drug address symptoms only and not the true cause of my problem? And do you expect me to be on this drug long term, 1 year, or the rest of my life? Is there a recall on this drug or an FDA black box warning I should know about? And if I start this drug and I become and it becomes unavailable, is there a replacement drug for it? Is the drug made in China? And lastly, if you were me, would you take this drug? Some good questions to start with. So your doctor should have knowledge of the pros and cons of the medications being recommended. So if your doctor's really not sure if the drug has side effects, ask the physician's desk reference book, which you can find at your library or bookstore. You can look it up there. A lot of times you can look stuff up online if you have access. Type in the drug and the word side effect and links will pop up. WebMD tends to have the common, not so common, and rare side effects, so they have a better list if you want to check it out there. And this way you can see. I don't know how many people, Frank, this week I talked to. They were talking and talking and talking about all this stuff happening, and I'm like, are you on a medication? Well, yeah. Well, what is it? And they tell me what it is. I said, have you checked it out? You put it in your search engine and list side effects. I bet you have a drug-induced issue. Your drug's causing that problem. So check it out. And 9 times out of 10, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You want to seek some natural solutions for everyday problems? Hey, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free catalog to send you. Full of immune-boosting, organ-cleansing, metabolic-strengthening herbal liquids that are all and powders that are all professionally based as strength-based. So this is what a practitioner would give you. But you can buy direct from them. You just give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. thepowerherbs.com. Remember their sale, 25% off orders of $50 or more now through the 19th of November, but restrictions apply. Use coupon code THANKS21 for the discount. More information's on their website. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.